Now today, I've been tasked by your SP to preach a very difficult message. Now, it's going to be a difficult subject, not because I'm going to teach you something so profound, so deep that you can hardly understand, but it is a very simple subject actually, but it is very difficult because it calls for you to do something. And it's something that we don't naturally like to go into, and that is to reach out to the lost. And specifically here, it's about reaching out to the community. Of course, in the immediate context is where you're situated here in Bedok North, but by extension also, where we are, where we live, is the community that God places in, where you live. And also where you work, I mean, in the office, there's an ecosystem, there's a group of people, and that group of people you work with would also be your community. And in each of these communities, it's always a challenge for us to reach out to them. I think it's a lot easier to just come to church and to pick a fantastic church like BBTC, where you can really enjoy worship, where you have every week, you can have Holy Communion, which I think it is so important. I don't understand why some churches only do it once a month. Yeah, because I think it's a key thing. To me, it's a key thing to just, for us to put a table in front, and I'm in the front row, and just look at the emblems, and just every week tell the Lord that, Lord, I need so much your grace. You know, I'm a human being. I fail and fall. And to be reminded that every week, I need the grace of God. And it's for real. The symbol there tells me that it's for real. You know, God's grace is available for all of you today. And every Sunday you come, the immensity of your grace, of the grace of God, should be appropriated by you when you take the bread and the wine. So this is another great thing. But I think we shouldn't stop there, isn't it? I think as a church, we have a very fantastically great cause. What we call the mission, or what we all memorize as a Great Commission, to reach the lost. Because as much as we look at a communion and say, God, I thank you for the grace, we mustn't make a mockery of it in a sense that Jesus died for the people out there, and if we don't bring that salvation message to them, it's almost like making a mockery out of the emblem. So it cuts both ways. And that's why, even though it is a difficult subject, it is a needful subject. So we're going to pray to God now that God will give you a special grace to receive a difficult message. So shall we pray? Lord, thank you so much for loving us even before we love you. And you love us while we're yet sinners. We are wretched sinners, and then you love us. And Lord, just teach us to also love others. Many of them we find very difficult to love because you don't know them and they are not like us. But Father, we pray that you flood us with your love and your grace so that we can find that motivation, that ability to love others like Jesus loved us. Father, as you come around to study your word, we do need a special grace from you so that what is difficult, you would help us to receive it with a spirit of teachability, willingness. We pray, oh God, that you would specially anoint your word so that your word will not return to you void, but you come forth like a challenge to us and challenge us to go out of here to do something for Jesus. So we commit this time to you. We pray all these things to God in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Okay, topic is cultivating a heart of community outreach. And to gear us up, let's turn to scriptures, because when we read scriptures, for me, I like to start reading the scriptures because it really geared me up before preaching time. Matthew 14. Verse 13 to 21, New King James Version. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let me just say something by way of introduction. And first of all, this topic was given to me. Normally, I have an easier time in the sense that your SP said, "Look, it's a free topic," and we normally give free topic to our guest speaker as well, because they take from something that the Lord has been speaking to them, the speakers lately, and there's something else that God sort of trigger for the church. Then we receive it, and it'd be easier for me. But I think it's needful, of course, because this is a very special month for you people, isn't it? The community outreach month, and I'm supposed to start the week. So it's okay. I will do it for him. I just want him to know that he owes me one. Yesterday I had lunch with my fellow elders at Maxwell Road Market. We're having a great lunch. And then they said, "So SP are going to preach Saturday. Hey, this is not fair." I said, "Why not fair? You preach Saturday one service, Sunday 2 services. Daniel Fu only comes Sunday 2 services. They said, "Yeah, oh, I didn't think of it." Nah. So this morning I told him, no more such unfair treatment. Next year, must come 3 times. Yeah. He asked me, "So you got the Saturday service, ah?" "We don't have, but we make one." Must be fair one. I just bring a few guys and then he let him preach to them. Yeah. Well, I think I'm really encouraged by the assignment, because it shows that your church is really interested in the subject. I don't get invited to speak on such a subject because nobody's interested. And it's very encouraging to know that you're interested. You even set aside one month. Oh my goodness, 1 month on this subject. I tell you, it encourages me, but God takes delight in such things, because I tell you, Jesus is always engaging the community. His whole pattern is that he'll come, he'll engage the community, he'll get them to encounter God, and then he'll get them into cell, embrace the cell, and then he will just send them out again. And I do not know why churches are not engaging the community like you are doing. So I'm encouraged. The other thing is that God wants me to encourage you today. So this is a message that I hope would encourage you, not something that will send you on a guilt trip. Huh? You come, you work 1 whole week, you're so tired, you're so battered, you come to church and say, "I want to get ministry from God at BBTC," and then you get a speaker who will clobber you and send you on a guilt trip, and then you go out all drooping the head and paisei. That shouldn't happen. What we need as a church is to come, whether we succeed, we fail, is to be challenged by God to do something for Him and go out with a deep sense of hope. You see, not a sense of condemnation. So we are going to look to God to encourage us and to challenge us in this very important area of reaching out to the community, whether it's the immediate community around here, the larger community as you go beyond the Bedok area, or the very community where you are living. and the very community you are working in, Monday through to Friday or even Saturday. So I'm going to share 3 points with you. First is to talk about jadedness, and second is about Jesus, our model, and thirdly, about something I want to suggest that we do, just to make another move. And I want to address two groups of people, people who are very jaded by ministry, CP work, or whatever ministry we're in, we feel jaded. People who have worked many years, long time, and in a very crowded life, get jaded. And the other one, with people who have joined the church recently, well, recently may mean a year, 2 years, or 3 years, but you have not really clicked into what the church is doing. You come to this church, maybe you have transferred or you are converted, and you may have come because you were wounded, and this is a healing church, and you come for that nourishment and healing, but you have remained so for many years. I don't know where you are, but I know you are here somewhere. And the Lord has a word for you that there's a time for you to be healed, time for you to be nourished, strengthened, but then there's also time to say, now that I belong to this community, I'm going to be part of what God is doing in and through this community. I'm going to address you, okay? So you tune in, open your hearts, God is speaking to you, it is time to rise up and to be part of the work here. Okay, let's start with the first one about people who are jaded by ministry. I think we get jaded easily because of the circumstances that we are in. And this circumstantial experience is quite common in Singapore because we are in a very busy, very demanding society. I need not elaborate because I need not tell you what you already know. Maybe you know even better the type of pressure you face. I appreciate it because I'm still practicing, so you know I know what is it like to face up to the type of demand of clients, the type of pressure to pray in the work and to make sure that the cash flow is there to pay the rent and the salary, and then to go back to work in a church. And most of us are like that, so we need not go there. We understand there is this overcrowded life. And here we are, you have speakers, you have pastors organizing series and asking you to give some attention to the community, which means more work lah. And you get overwhelmed by the needs of the community. It's very, very overwhelming. And then you look at your resources, it's really overstretched. Resources just not in terms of money, but in terms also, I think more so in terms of time, right? We really, really like time. All of us are fighting for time. And when all these things come together and you still serve, a lot of us are still serving, but you get tired, you get jaded after some time. And I think it is in this type of a situation we empathize with the disciples in verse 15 and 17 that it was evening time. It means a long day, evening time. And the disciples say, wow, this is a tough place, deserted place, hours late. And you have the multitudes right in front of you. And what we have, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is just one instance. But we're familiar with the gospel that the disciples and Jesus were often found with multitudes, and they will be ministering to them early, late, and long. Sometimes they get so crowded, so stretched, that they will have no time even to eat a proper meal. You read that in Mark 6 and 31. So today, as I speak and want to engage you, you ask yourself, am I like that? You know, and I ask you, do you feel the same way, this crowdedness in your life? The next thing I want to look at is that of the needs of the community. Really, when you look at it, you get overwhelmed. The great quantity, the variety, the complexity of the needs that we have. Recently, in our church, we ministered to a family in the community. And the sole breadwinner of that family was facing a jail sentence. Already went to court a couple of times, and I think he was due for sentencing, definitely going to jail because he worked as a driver involved in a traffic accident, dangerous driving, and so it's like mandatory, huh, will be jailed. And he was the sole breadwinner. Wife, very sickly, 3 kids, school going, and his own mother, this lady's mother-in-law, was also with them, and she suffers from very severe, very incapacitating dementia. Is that she got housebound, cannot go down to the do any shopping to the block, void deck, because she won't be able to find her way back again. Very, very severe. And this man facing a jail term, maxed out several of his credit cards, loan sharks already started demanding for payment, splash paint at the main door of his house. And in this circumstance, they came to the church and asked the church for help. So when you have this type of case, there is like no hope. We don't even know where to start, how we can help. But it's just a sampling of the needs out there. It may not be the worst, because probably you would have gone through, experienced even worse cases. So let me ask you, do you have to deal with cases like that? Do you see the complexity of the needs there? And then next, of course, you look at our own overstretched resources. How many members in this church can you mobilize to reach out to the community? I mean, there are so many things going on and they're all needful. How much offering do you collect each month that you can set aside to give to them? And there's a big hole, as it were, out there. So how many man hours, how much money can you devote to the community? For the disciples, they say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think that we must really acknowledge before God, say, God, we have human limitation, we have overwhelming needs, and the circumstances are so overwhelming, we need you to help. I think we got to recognize this even before we start asking for a miracle. Then we appreciate the miracle. And I think for some of us are facing this situation for many years, whether it's 3, 5, 10 years, we get so jaded, we want to get away. I try to get away very often. Basically, I am an introvert, and I get depleted very, very quickly. Preaching, meeting, and all these things, and then, I just long to go home. When I go home, I stay in my study room. I like to be alone. My wife, Cindy, leave me alone. Everybody leave me alone. And I just love being alone. And then quickly recover, and I'll replenish. But in a church context, a lot of us also get so overwhelmed by all these things that we also want to slip away. And worse, after some time, you want to stay away from this church. But others who are managing better, don't slip away, don't stay away, we just send away. They send a check, lah. They send a check. You know how people slip away, that you see them 1 week and then, but they make sure they come back the next week so that you won't know that they are slipping away. And then more and more frequent, and finally, they totally disappeared. Either that or they change their seating arrangement. Second row, then fifth row, then 15th row. And then after that, well, last row. After last row, they penetrate the wall and then they disappear. But it's not because they're just too tired. And we know that the worst effect that we have in all these things, I want to share with you, is that the worst effect you can have is when we begin to lose heart. You understand? We lose heart. And we end up behaving like the Levite and the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And in 31 and 32, just two short verses, that by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw the victim, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. And what happened was this, that the priest saw it and just ignored. The word is for ignore it. The Levite took a look and then overlooked. One is just glance and overlook. The other one is see it and then can ignore it. And what caused this? They are church people, Levites, priests, equivalent to us, Christians. We should be the first people to attend to the needs in the community. If there's a Zika pandemic, we are the first people to pray. And this morning you pray, I mean, is that you pray for Singapore, you take the whole responsibility for Singapore, and that's the way that we function, is our attitude. We take responsibility. We are Christian. We are in the forefront when there's a national need, national disaster. And if there's a need outside, we should be the first. We cannot overlook and we cannot ignore. Then, but you see these people, they're doing it. Why? What happened if you also are ignoring? What happened if come 1st October, I make a call to Dr. Pen. I say, man, you have 3 weeks of BCCSC open house. How many people came after they heard a fantastic message from me? Nobody. Why? Message not so fantastic. No, I think, is it because you don't care? Well, that's what we are afraid of when we stop caring. It's become a heart issue. And that's why we are preaching this message about just cultivating a heart for the community. Not asking you to build up more strength, exercise more discipline, build up your stamina, have a stronger willpower and say, I will. Have accountability group, shake hand and say, let's go. You know, it's not that. In the end, it's going to be the heart issue. As we shall see more of it. Now, we just need to cultivate a heart for the community all over again. And don't let this jadedness begin to affect us until we stop caring, either by just ignore or just overlooked it and move on. So we understand the problem that we can face. But what should we do? I mean, let's do something about it. And I suggest we look to Jesus as our model and do something about it. I say it's a heart issue. It's a heart. We also experience such issue in our own church. For example, I experienced that doing CP work for 19 years. And Friday night, I was still at it because we do about 4 times a year. And of the 4 times we go out to the community, once a year we give away the friendship cup just to renew friendship. And my wife and I, we were at a block that we have been visiting, and 19 years, we saw our residents, those we first met in the pram, in baby cot. Now they are all grown up, and we are still reaching out to them. So. In my experience, very often I get so depleted of the heart. No compassion. Yeah. I'm still strong, still fit, still can work, but the heart is not there. And I just realize that it is the most important thing, and it happens to the church as well. And so we realize as a church at LSBC there is the compassion element get depleted so quickly so easily. And that from time to time, someone can feel it, you know, temperature, the compassion temperature is so low. We go to God and ask God, God, please, top us up again. Give to us your compassion. And God would show up. But there are a few things we can do, and we can learn from Jesus. Three things. The reality part of it, of that jadedness that we have. First is that we got to do our part in taking time to rest and taking time to build relationship with God. Just now I poked fun about people slipping away. I think slipping away for rest is not wrong. I think we should slip away once in a while for rest, for rejuvenation, when we just sense we have a need for it. And Jesus himself did that. In fact, in a subject text, we read about it, that Jesus departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. For what? Well, just to be alone, recuperate, to rejuvenate. Of course, in that instant, he wasn't very successful. But it's clear in other parts of the Bible that it was his habit to withdraw and to spend solitude time with his Father. And I believe that it was for bonding with the Father, for communion, and for that renewal of the inner man, the spiritual strength. You read that in Mark chapter 1, 32 to 39. You also read that in Matthew 5, 15 to 16. You can do that in your free time. So I think we should encourage one another to get sufficient rest. I think it's very important to sustain your ministry, whatever ministry you're involved in, whether it's community pastoring or and so forth. Because I think serving God in that circumstances we're all found in is very, very demanding. And the next thing is, of course, we have to keep spiritually healthy, maintain a strong relationship with God. We don't allow ministry or work or CP work to crowd God out of our life. And this, for this, I think the personal quiet time with God is really non-negotiable. I mean, we just got to spend time with God and let God nourish us in our spirit man. However, we must remember that a place to slip away should not become a place for us to stay away. Some people, right, you slip away and then you permanently stay away. I was telling the Saturday group that some of us got so tired, so we slip away to Perth for holiday and end up migrating there. Yeah, permanently, because it was so tiring. And, you know, Australia lifestyle is a lot easier. So, if we don't migrate, in the sense that we leave church, you stay away, you can be permanently there, we should not. Because basically, solitude must lead us to service. We see the pattern of busyness leading to solitude resulting in more ministry. This is the pattern we see in Jesus' life. You don't find him perpetually in solitude. There was solitude, but it's always then moving on. And I think we should follow that. So that means the next thing I want to point out to you is to rise up and to reach out. After rest and relationship is to rise up and to reach out. Let us be okay to slip away and rest, but it should be balanced by that willingness to allow intrusion and encroachment. Okay? After resting, you'll find that there will be intrusion and there will be encroachment. And Jesus faced that in Matthew 14. I mean, he departed to somewhere to find solitude and rest, but the multitudes heard it, followed him. And they just intruded again into his time. They just encroached upon his personal space. In Mark 1:35, he had a whole night of whole day and night of ministry. So he slept early morning, went to spend solitude. And the disciples came and put pressure on him. Say, everybody's waiting for you. Let's go back for ministry. They searched for him. They found him, and everyone is looking for him. And this is an encroachment, this is an intrusion as well. And I think that if it happens to the Lord, it happens to us. And I think from the rest, the solitude, the rejuvenation, we should then rise up to be willing. Willing for God arranged intrusion into our life. God arranged encroachment. He said, I shall be for the people. They are given permission to encroach on my space, intrude upon my time. Then, the next thing that we can learn is about residence and respondents. Two types of crowds we ought to reach out to. They can be residents living in the community or the respondents. People from the community responding and coming into the church. Resting and relationship should lead us to just reach out, to reach out again and move again after resting. And Jesus always making move in a strategic way to reach out to resident next town. It's always next village, next town, in the expansion. In Mark 1:35, you find that. Let us go out into the next town. And I believe that the cultivating of a community heart for community outreach will always include this expansion of a witness. Somehow, as you are prepared to expand or even doing a little bit of expansion, can stir up something within you that get you so excited again. It's just like a family happily going on, you know, father, mother, children, and they're very happy, but there's something missing. Suddenly, grandchildren come, and the dynamic changes, you know, because a new life has come. Of course, messy lah, diapers lah, you know, pampers and all kinds of things, but new life come. And for a church, it's the same. I think a church as beautiful as yours, as strong and stable of yours, sometimes if you allow yourself to get into that mode of fantastic church, and then no new spiritual babies, no outreach coming in, it get to be stale. Then suddenly, you make another move. You reach out to another block. You have another evangelistic program. You invite some of your colleagues to come. Conversion take place, and bang, the buzz that goes on in the church. Well, it is very, very exciting. So, in a way, if you're jaded, if you have been staying away from work, one of the things you can do is really to make another move and to expand, to reach out again. It's counterintuitive. You say, how can? You know, I'm already so tired, I should cut back. You know, and this preacher said, I should expand. But this counterintuitive thing actually can make a lot of difference. Somehow, something stirred within us, and new life would come. And I believe, I was telling, sharing the first service today, the earlier service, that God is not just putting you here to be happy with Bedok North Avenue 3, this vicinity, and you are... because you got your name is a big name. It's a Bethesda Bedok Avenue 3 Church. Bedok North Avenue Church. BAPC Church. I don't know. But it's a big thing. Bethesda, then Bedok Tampines Church. Big. You're very greedy, you know. When you build the church, about 30 years ago, it should be just Bedok. You're not happy. And change must go and put dash Tampines. Yeah. Why? I think that is this something prophetic that it is not going to be in this Avenue 3 area. And if you're still not convinced, God said, let me do something that will wake them up. I send a Zika to this area. Yeah, yeah. This small area, Zika come and say, God, what's happening? What's happening? Not just this small area. Go, you know, go. And that somehow the expansion, territorially, I know yours is really a national church. I mean, you do think nationally. But there's an aspect of your witness which is very geographical. In a sense that when you're here, your influence in this area definitely more effective than any other nationally aligned church, whether it's New Creation or City Harvest or, you know, Living Sanctuary. So there is a dimension where an expansion of a geographical influence has a place for your church. So I really encourage you to just keep going out. And the next thing is to attract the crowd to come in. Because going out, in a way, is quite easy. Everything is done outside there, their home, their living room, you know. But when you're effective, especially you're very effective in this area, people will come in. Residents will come in. Different type of people will come in. Not the type we're used to, because it's got very homogeneous, the same type one. All so well-dressed, so well-behaved, you know. Some people come in and will just mess things up in your church. All right, and they'll shock you. How could they behave like that? But they are here because they're attracted to the church. And that's because you are now beginning to build a church that is attractive. And you should. You should live an attractive life that people are attracted to you and ask you, hey, tell me something about your life. You should be having a church that's so attractive that now not resident waiting for you. Respondents are coming. Because of what you give, what you do, how you feed them, they're coming. And this is the way forward. And you should be prepared for them to come and to have a powerful inreach as well. And this is not my own theory. I find it happening in Jesus' life. Earlier on, I told you that he said, let's go to the next town. Let's go to the next town. Got more residents to meet. But he also had respondents where he wake up, he go to a place, and people followed him, attracted. A multitude heard it, followed him. There's this attraction power. People are already responding, intruding, encroaching. Now, you will also face this in this church, okay? And you should be ready for it and say, God, give me a big and generous heart in this church to begin to accept people that just come on their own, not those you befriend and invite, because those you befriend and invite tend to be of the same kind. But those who come and intrude and encroach upon this space here is outside your control. It's just attracted by your church testimony and what you're doing in the community. So cultivate a generous heart. Okay, let the people come and let them find Jesus here. Now, I believe that you can do that. You can cultivate that heart. And now the last thing I want to share, I got about just 10 minutes more, is to encourage you to just make a move. For those who are so jaded, just how am I going to do it again? And for those who are not initiated, or because you have come to church and you have been enjoying it, you just don't know when to make a move. And that's the trouble. It's not that you intend to stay like that forever. No? When you came, you said, I want to be resting only for 1 year, then I'll serve God again. But that was 3 years ago. But it's not that you really want it. There's a certain inertia. When you are on a move, there's a certain momentum. But when you're resting, there's a certain inertia. So you say only 1 year, but the inertia will hold you down for 3 years minimum. What to do? I think it is to respond to a call. Like call today. Call from Pastor Sing Lee and Chun Mian's, BCCSC. Just go and visit. Do something. And just do. Very easy. Entry point, 101. And then suddenly something would happen again. So this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. Can you just make another move? Easy move. And allow God to touch you. And it's really revisiting basics. The basics of pastoring a community. Just going out to visit your VWO, your social concern organization. And we can look to Jesus to see how he did it. Now, number one, Jesus first went out where the people were. That is basics. CP, Community Pastoring 101. You have to go out where the people are. And Jesus did that. In verse 14, he went out. Because it's only when you go out that you can see. And Jesus saw. He saw the multitude. It's only when you see that your heart can be moved. And he was moved. Jesus was moved with compassion. So I want to encourage you, just do something simple. Go and visit. You've got 3 weeks, 3 Saturdays. Go to HQ, visit. And open your eyes, and then open your heart. And let the Lord move you with compassion. Secondly, you notice that Jesus would go and have solitude, have rest, have rejuvenation, but he went back after rest and solitude to minister to the many needs of the people. And it's recorded in Matthew 14:14. He went out, he saw, he was moved, and then he healed the sick. So the next stage, after going out, opening your eyes, opening your heart, is minister to people in a holistic way. This is a team. You all operate as a team. You need not do everything because you might not have all the gift for everything. But you play a part, however small a part, to ministering to people. Basically, if it's 101, the simplest thing is to care for people. People respond to your care. And as you care for them, they can see Jesus and they can hear the gospel being preached without words, you know, by just your caring for them, right? You can minister to them holistically, not just preaching the gospel. Sometimes it involves what we call compassion ministry. And there's a whole list of compassion ministry we can find in Matthew 25, 34 and to 36. And then thirdly, okay, first step, man, go out, see, open your heart. Next, involve in some ministering and helping people. And then thirdly, you go to the community and work works of miracles. Because Jesus did that. He went out to minister by healing people. Then he did a work of miracles. Because, you know, healing in those days is so common. Every time you read the Bible, Jesus healed, Jesus healed. Then came the feeding of 5,000. Wow, that was a very big miracle. And I believe that it's an emphasis of the supernatural ministry of Jesus as he engaged the community. And I think we are called also to exercise supernatural ministry like Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that at that time, Jesus didn't just perform the miracle, he involved the disciples in a miracle. And as it were, he was multiplying the bread. That was a miracle. He then handed the bread to the disciples, and the disciples carried this miracle. They were running up and down, 5,000 people, it's a lot of people. And they were part of the miracle, they were carrying the miracle. And for us, I want to tell you that every time you go out, or even when you're in an office, or when in your block, your community, you carry the presence of Jesus. And where the presence of God is, there can be miracles, right? You need not perform, he performed, but you carry them. So I want to encourage you to say, Lord, you know, that's the third thing I want to do. I want to carry your presence, and I want to carry your miracles. I'm prepared to take risks, do the ridiculous, the impossible, exercise faith. If you tell me to, I will feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Figuratively speaking, that type of miracle. And I believe that if you are prepared to do some of these very, very basic things, it would sort of make a change in your life. Get out of the jadedness. And then, on the other hand, begin to get out of your inertia and then start a new momentum in your life. This has been a church that's a healing church. It attracted a lot of people who came wounded, burnt out, and then you have wonderful worship, solid teaching, a lot of equipping, warm fellowship, a lot of pastoral care, and then you're healed. You're healed. You're strengthened. And God is just speaking to you. There are many leaders, talented, you've got fantastic background, track record is just sheer burnout. No? But you cannot stay burnout forever, isn't it? Because it's very dishonoring. No, it's dishonoring to your SP. You say, I came 3 years ago, it's burnout. What happened to you? Still burnout. You mean 3 years here, still burnout? What happening to Pastor Daniel Fu? He didn't do anything. Cannot be, right? It's very dishonoring. Actually, you have been healed. It's an inertia that you overcome to get back to this CP 101 entry point. Easy thing, one visit, and let God do something with you. I'm sure God will help you. Let's pray to Him. Come, let's pray. I'll invite you. Yeah, we have about 4 minutes before time for close, but we should spend a minute so that everyone can respond to God where you are seated. And as you bow your head and close your eyes, I just invite you to create an altar so that we can all go to the altar and in our spirit communicate with God and have a transaction with God. God has spoken. You're not here by accident, but here by divine appointment. And the gracious God is now calling you again. God knows everything. Where you are, what's happening to you, and how tired, weary, discouraged. He knows. He can. He can refresh you, rejuvenate you, and in a very counterintuitive way, yet call you afresh out of that jadedness into something new.